Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. And Doc, I have to say, after meeting up with a number of people, of our listeners from the VRIC, that Vancouver Resource Investment Conference, they had so many nice things to say about you. So it's great that you keep on coming on the show and sharing what the charts are telling you. Where we're going to start here is a general topping pattern that you can argue we are seeing in the markets and even the bond market in terms of U.S. equities just not being able to, and it doesn't look like they will, climb back to all-time highs. That 20% plus pullback that started in October did a lot of damage, and it even made the Fed switch course. What do you have to say about this topping pattern and the potential of how long it could go on for?
Well, you know, Corey, if you look back to 2015 and 2016 on the S&P or on the Dow, we had a similar type of pattern for a year. Actually, it was 2 years before it broke out again. But this time, I have the feeling it's not going to work its magic. I think we're in a broad topping situation again, which I mentioned months ago. And I think this time the odds are pretty good that even if funny money is printed in the future to save this thing, that it might not have the effect that it has in the past. There is no way we're going to challenge the highs of 2018 again in the near future at all. And I'll tell you, it won't happen in the next 6 months at all. And so we're going to be trading sideways here to potentially down for a considerable period of time before we, in all likelihood, break down again. So we are really in a topping pattern with these conventional markets, but also with the bond market. But it makes sense because the Fed has at its disposal, it can jawbone, it can put interest rates on pause. It could even, if markets hanging up here, could increase rates again to see what happens. Because, frankly, in spite of what the Fed has, it is looking at the markets big time. That's one of their parameters right now, and they won't admit it, but it is. And if this thing holds together, they could raise rates again sometime this year, but they could pause. They can play this game for quite a while because their balance sheet is quite full, and they can play with interest rates for a while. So they can just take their time on what they want to do here.
Okay, so Doc, there are two different concepts there. One that you said where if there's more funny money injected into the system, you don't think it'll have the same impact. But I still think we're still a ways away from the Fed needing to inject any more money into the system. Right now, as you said, they are paused, but they can stay paused for a while as long as this market doesn't go through, say, another 20% correction. How important do you think it would be to see these markets stabilize a little bit, go into maybe a little bit more natural trading, but stay within this range, which then would just keep the Fed more or less a watcher, a bystander?
I think that's a big possibility, and I think the Fed will just be a watcher until they get more data on whether it's positive or negative. There's a lot of negative data coming out again, but still the economy is just kind of chugging along. But I don't think first quarter GDP will be any great shakes. But it's going to be interesting because we're in the middle of the range on the monthly chart right now, and March is coming up. But with a lot of the home sales across the nation in trouble, and commercial real estate in New York and other places having difficulty, it's hard for me to see if the Fed will raise rates again in March, because they talked about being patient on their last verbal joust. And that sends me a message that they're a little concerned about some of the indicators coming in that they're watching. and especially with also China having problems, and Europe not better off. My feeling is that they will pause in March, but they've got a lot of latitude to do what they want, and they've got a lot of latitude for some period of time to play this game. Unless things really get dicey, then all bets are off.
Yeah, and the thing is, don't count out still one, maybe even two more rate hikes by the Fed, but that so much is data dependent, and remember, markets drive a lot of the data too. So right now the Fed is paused, but a big concept of why the markets could stay somewhat elevated or at least within this range deals with liquidity. There's still a lot of liquidity within the U.S. markets, and also because of the issues that other markets have had, especially in China and Europe, that liquidity, I think, is still more comfortable in the U.S. equity markets. Can you address this point?
It is, and it's also still interested in anything dollar bearing because the dollar is holding up. And so the money will tend to go west and young man. And so there's a good chance that this can hold up for a period of time. Like you said, there's still quite a bit of liquidity in the market. So right now, there aren't any alarm bells, but there doesn't look to be a lot of positive action in these charts for going a lot higher here at all. And so we're going to be in a holding pattern here, Corey.
All right, Doc, let's switch it over to another market, a resource market that has been getting some attention. I'm talking about copper here, and pretty much year to date, or at least, let's say, a couple days after when the year started, so January 3rd when copper hit its low, it's moved up about 10%, which is a strong move, which has gotten some people excited, at least on those short-term charts. But you take a step back on even the weekly or the monthly chart, and it's really not that impressive to me. What are your thoughts on where copper stands?
I agree with that. We're in a long trading range that's been established way back in September, maybe even before that. And if you look at it, at the weekly charts and the monthly charts, this is just copper prices moving up into that range again. So there's not, to me, and I agree with your lack of excitement with this, because right now on these charts, there's no massive attempt to break out. Of course, the monthly trading range is a lot broader than the weekly. So it's still possible that over time, copper could move back up toward 325. Whereas on the weekly chart right now, on its own trading range, the high is around 290, and we're almost there. So we'll see if copper wants to move within that monthly trading range or within this weekly trading range yet, and we're going to find out about that shortly. But I have a feeling that this move is going to fail.
Now, do you attribute any of this, at least short-term move, to maybe some positive news coming out of some sort of a trade deal between U.S. and China?
Potentially, but it's so hard to know what's going to happen there because it's a back-and-forth type of a deal. One minute, everybody gets really excited, and then the next minute, their hope is dashed. And so until we see a real trade deal, I don't think copper has a chance of really performing significantly.
Do you think if we do get a trade deal, then that could help copper, let's say, move above that $3 level?
Yeah, I think then we could move up toward the high range on the monthly. But you're going to have to see more things happen. You're going to have to see a commitment by China to even increase their money printing more than they did recently and commit to that money going into the further build out of their One Belt, One Road type of philosophy, where they still really start to spend some money to pay for infrastructure for that one belt, one road project that's happening throughout Euro-Asia. And if you got that type of stimulus, then I think copper would really move. But I think we're a little ways away from that.
Do you think that's what a lot of these markets need, whether it's equity markets, if money does flow in there, or base metals, or even precious metals, is another round of easy money from either all three or at least a couple of these major central banks to drive something up to break out of these now trading ranges that they're in?
Yeah, we need to see some real growth in projects that will drive commodities. And we don't have that yet. It could be China. It could be China and the United States. When you have somebody like this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talking like she does, I'll tell you something, Corey, if we even have a sniff of a recession, or if we have a recession, you think the socialist talk is large now? Wait until that happens. And because they're going to be talking about climate change projects, they're going to talk about infrastructure projects and the kind of money they're talking about. And then you have Trump committed to the military-industrial complex. Can you imagine the type of fiscal stimulus, not monetary so much, but fiscal stimulus that would come out of this sort of thing? It would be gigantic, and you would be seeing deficits in the order of $2 trillion a year. And to do some of what these different groups want to do. And then copper and some of these commodities would really start to move with that kind of talk and those kind of projects. But if the Fed has their way, we're not going to see another recession for a long time. Some people might argue we're in one. We've been in one for 8-9 years, which is possible. But I don't think the Fed wants to see a downturn in the economy because they know how dangerous it could be.
Yeah, many good points there, Doc. And unfortunately, that's just the situation that the markets are in and that the central banks are in. And now with the deficits only growing in the U.S. and looking like they're going to get worse, well, it really puts into question the long-term viability of the dollar and of this easy money policy. However, hey, it's continued to go on for longer than a lot of people have thought. Doc, good chatting with you. Always great having you on the show. Have a great rest of your day.